everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Grey's Academy, your favorite Grey's Anatomy podcast in the entire world, according to both humans and AI across the multiverses. You have your two favorite hosts. My name is Carmen.
My name is Kelsey. It's a beautiful night for a podcast, and fuck AI.
Well, it's a lot of good that AI can provide. We just need to harness it the right way.
Yes, and it needs to stop being used by just the average person.
Yeah, it needs to not be your therapist. It needs to not be your friend. If you're texting AI as your friend, yes, stop. That's like, imagine you and I texting back and forth, and every time you and I text, you just light fire to 6 gallons of water. Like, yeah. No thanks. We were talking about something right before this came on, and I think I have a life update for you, but also, oh, I was going to tell you about my last couple of days, but you were telling me something about this Taylor Swift, Blake Lively, Justin Baldoni thing. Like,
yes.
What's going on here?
So, real quick recap, Justin Baldoni sucks. And if you're on his side, I fear that you've fallen victim to propaganda. I'm not saying that Blake Lively is an angel who has never done wrong in her life. I am saying she is a human being who deserves to go to work and not be sexually harassed.
That's like such a unique
perspective. The bar is so low.
because I'd like a lot to understand times, more. I'd like to dig in more into whatever trauma has happened in your life that you think that you should be able to be safe at work from sexual harassment.
Right, or just in the world.
Because, because my president right now, never mind.
Disagrees.
Yeah.
So, yes. Essentially, part of the lawsuit against Justin Baldoni, there were text messages.
Is it Jason or Justin? What did I say?
It's Justin.
Did I say Jason?
Is it
Justin?
I don't know. It's Justin Baldoni.
Mr. Baldoni.
Part of the subpoenas were Taylor Swift and Blake Lively's text messages, and they were released. And in it, Taylor Swift called Justin Baldoni a little bitch. And my thought is, if you think that's someone being mean, then I don't think you have ever had a friend willing to go to bat for you. Like, if I told Carmen, hey, there's this guy I don't like at work and he's sexually harassing me, little bitch is probably the nicest thing Carmen would have to say about it.
I'd probably be on a plane I would say that fucking asshole motherfucker, and I would say
literally
something probably even worse than that. I would get on a plane because I would have to fly and stop Michael from going to this person's house.
That's probably.
I'm like, Michael, you can't go to jail. Like, we can't afford your bail. You have children, so please stop. And then, of course, you know, as a company, we would just have to expense the flight because we're keeping a spouse out of jail or something.
Right.
I don't know. It's a write-off.
It's just like, people are like, oh my God, this is so mean girls. And I just need you to stop. Like, if you're saying that, oh my God, that's them being so mean to this precious little angel of a man who's never done anything wrong in his life, you got to re-examine the facts. Again, this is the argument that bothers me, is when people say Justin Baldoni sexually harassed Blake Lively on the set of their film. And the response is, well, Blake Lively is a diva. Again, irrelevant fact. That can be true.
Yeah.
She still shouldn't be sexually harassed.
I think there was...
It's illegal to be mean. I would love it if people weren't mean to the other people they work with. I would love it if people treated people with kindness on a regular basis. That's not illegal. Sexual harassment is illegal. And also, in my opinion, worse than being a diva. Hot take.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Yeah. Yeah. I need you to calm down because there's a lot of anti-male propaganda that I'm feeling in this argument.
Also, let's address this. We got a new review that said we were defending Johnny Depp, which we don't know when that happened. And we don't find factually correct. And we have sourced other listeners who also cannot tell us when that happened.
There, so I'm going to read this review because this is our newest review. And yeah, it's a little bit of a bummer. So if you're out here listening, please let us know, like, timestamp and send us the receipts for this. But this is by Walking Wounded 99, and the title is gross. 1 star. Liked this podcast until they started defending abuser Johnny Depp, who has credibly been proven of domestic violence in situations where his PR team wasn't able to manipulate the situation and hide evidence. Disgusting, and will no longer listen or support the people. I'm not going to try to say that we have never not complimented Pirates of the Caribbean or mentioned something about his movies or his art. I feel, and this is my perspective and my opinion, so I'm not speaking on behalf of Kelsey here, but if I try to really gun to my head, think about what I would have said in that moment, I would have said a couple things. Number one, I would have said, I didn't really follow the trial, so I don't have an opinion. The second thing I would have said out of my mouth is, regardless of the situation, let's just make sure we believe women. So I don't know what the context would be.
Maybe this is where it got twisted. Again, I don't know. It's hard to say. I don't know why I would be talking about that on this podcast because, for fuck's sake, like, we go on tangents. Yeah. So, like, obviously we could have gotten there.
Also, like, us as people, like, this isn't this. I yeah. really don't think that it. And honestly, our relationship, you and me, if I were to be like, no, like, listen, I like, I'm pro Johnny, like, anti Amber Heard, like, he, like, fuck him, like, and honestly, like, beat women, like, let's do it, let's normalize, it's 2025 or 2026, let's just beat women, it's fine. You would have said something rational to the effect of, hey, Carmen, that sounds like an insensitive fucking cold take, let's not say that. Like, you would have called, if I, yeah. if, and I don't see you in a world defending the any kind of domestic violence, like, and either of us, right? Like, but I don't know. Say what
you
were going to say. I'm sorry.
I could have thought potentially that it was misconstrued as that is in that trial. Again, he has excellent PR and he had a better legal team. And here's also the thing about that trial. I know you didn't follow it. That trial was not, did he abuse her? That trial was there libel or defamation based on an article she wrote? And I think because of the way it was portrayed in the media and because he or she was found guilty of defamation or libel, whatever the details of it were, people twisted that in their mind of like, well, he won the trial, so that means he wasn't an abuser. And that's not the facts. And perchance that was the conversation. And that's not good. We don't like that. Again,
yeah.
Maybe I don't like her as a person. Does that mean she gets to be punched in the face? No.
Totally not.
Does that mean she gets to punch him in the
totally
face?
Totally not.
Also, no, they definitely shouldn't have been also together. No. I'm glad they're not together anymore. It's just, yeah. It's just a bummer because I have had people reach out to me and say like, hey, this comment was made. Would you mind expanding on that? Or like, hey, could you like clarify this or that about what you guys stand for? And I'm always happy to do that. So it was just a bummer to me that this person was allegedly enjoying the podcast. And then all of a sudden a comment that yet again, we don't know when it was made or what it was in relevance to, just like made them shut down the whole, I understand like if I was listening to a podcast and I really liked it and they were like, oh, you know, yay Donald Trump, I would be like, ooh, that's a bummer, probably not gonna listen to this anymore. So I understand that, but I don't know, it was weird to me, especially because we do go out of our way to make stances known on so many things that would not align with being down with a known abuser.
Yeah, I also think it's worth pointing out, both Kelsey and I, to her point, is we've always been open and honest with listeners and friends, and like, I don't think that you or I are short of opinions on anything. And and even if at the end of the day, again, like I said, for me personally, I didn't watch the trial, but my opinion on the situation is again, like, believe women. We're not shaming people for, you know, standing up for themselves and coming forward. To tell you the truth, I didn't even know that the defamation or liability was the whole point of the argument of the trial. Yeah.
Like,
don't even
the
know.
Trial was portrayed I in do remember, a very specific way for this reason.
Yeah. I do remember not important to the trial, but I guess was his defense lawyer like a smoke show? Like that was a thing, right? Like she was super hot.
I don't think so, but she was very good. I mean, he had the better legal team. Her legal team in the trial was bad. And it was to the point where it was like
skill-wise. Was his legal team attractive?
No, I understand what you're saying. I don't recall.
Oh, okay. Okay.
I just recall that his was much better.
Got it.
To the point where it seemed like someone again was trying to like sabotage her by finding her a horrendous legal team. Her lawyer was like objecting to his own questions.
That's crazy.
Like looking at it now from like with like on the macro sense with all the information, it's just like that's questionable. Anyways,
yeah, it's crazy.
Don't.
And like, don't hit women. Don't sexually assault women.
Don't hit anybody.
The thing I was going to say.
Well, sometimes some people need to be punched.
You know, gender neutral punching, right? Let's
Nazis.
Just
punch Nazis.
Punch Nazis. Yeah. One of the things I was going to say is I don't remember what trial it was, but I feel like I have a memory. Maybe this is fictional and it's on a TV show, but we're going back to the Baldoni thing. You know, something to the effect of they didn't see that the woman was raped because she was a sexually active woman. Like that's not how sexual assault works, right? It's that's not how
I don't know what
domestic violence works.
Referring to,
I don't know what I'm referencing, but
it wouldn't be surprising to me, unfortunately.
Probably any trial from what's hilarious is I still think about the sexual harassment training that I had from one of my past jobs. And the metaphor they used was, like, if Tim shares a cheeseburger with Sally, and Sally says yes, does that mean that anytime Tim has a cheeseburger, Sally wants some of Tim's cheeseburger? And the answer is no. You shouldn't assume that, right? So, and I think it was in relation to, like, if you're flirting with someone and then all of a sudden they don't like it, you can't get mad at them and retaliate or something. I don't know. It was very convoluted, but it's sexual in nature. And again,
consent is important.
Consent is important.
Is the
key.
Yeah, never assume consent. Get consent. Clear
get
consent.
Consent. Written in a legal contract.
So
that's our stance on that.
Be a good friend and believe women.
Yeah. And honestly, like, get a couple right. Like, we should not be faulting Taylor for being a ride or die for Blake. And honestly, Kelsey could pretty much say anything to me without all the facts. And I'd be like, what a fucking bitch. Right? Exactly. Like, anyone.
Like, God, like, you and I, we got to be staying out of legal trouble. Because God forbid our text messages get subpoenaed.
Oh, no, absolutely not. Yeah, absolutely.
We're not being nice.
No.
Again,
and
not illegal.
I will say, I'm going to go on record because I want this to be used in court. I don't want Kelsey's tone to be read out of context in the derogatory and mean and abusive things that she says to me, because I feel like the abuse is mostly one-sided. But that's...
There's no
spoken like a true abuser.
There is not 10 seasons of recorded audio proof of that.
Okay. Anyways, so we're going to get through this episode. The reason we didn't do a cold open because I'm sick. I was actually sitting at my kitchen table telling Jess I really don't want to record, but now it's past 8:00. And if I text Kelsey, I'm a dick for not recording tonight, but I really
also,
do not feel
you gotta
well.
Tell me earlier, because on the days we record I drink caffeine so late in the day so that
I know that would be that'd be real mean.
Ugh. Okay, well, now that we've spent almost 15 minutes not talking about Grays, I do want to also really quick, with no additional information, throw in that we did get a second dog, but now we can record about Grey's Anatomy. And we'll talk about that later.
Yeah, yeah, we definitely need to, because I still have so many questions.
Yeah, it happened like, both not quickly and very quickly.
Oh, goodness. I love it, though. Just real quick, the name of the dog and the age and the cuteness level on a scale of 1 to 10.
She's very cute. 10 out of 10 cute because she has the up ears, the straight up ears, because she's got a little bit cute, of German Shepherd cute. In her. And she's a mixed breed. She's got like Belgian Malinois, Husky, German Shepherd, something else. She's very lean, like a golden yellow color. Very quick on her feet. And she's about two. She's like right at the same age as Watson, which is really what we were looking for. They get along great. Again, what we were looking for. Playmate, entertainment, exercise. So it's going really well. It's been 24 hours. It's going great.
Where is she sleeping?
She has her own crate. She's fully trained because the foster who had her is a dog trainer. So she's crate trained, potty trained, has some commands ready to go. She can be off leash. She's great.
Awesome. Love it. Very happy for you guys. And she looks so cute. I can't wait to meet her. I'd love to find a way to bring Vanellope down and meet all of them.
That would be amazing.
Yeah. All right. Well, let's do the thing where we record, shall we?
Okay. This is the 6th episode of the 10th season of Grey's Anatomy. It is episode 202 overall. It is called Map of You. And that is a song.
Map of You is a song by the band New Music with a K. New Music. And the band, New Music, is a synth pop group from England, and they were active around 1977 to 1982. This song is off of the album From A to B, and it is their debut album, which came out on April 18th, 1980. The song, I'll tell you, it's not terrible. It didn't make it to my iTunes library because it doesn't exist in iTunes, and Kelsey was very mm-hmm. kind to find it in the annals of YouTube. So thank you, Kelsey, for that search, and thank you to the annals of YouTube for holding it and clenching onto the song just so tight right up in there. So I'm gonna give it objectively a 1, subjectively a 2. I would love to have heard this song covered by like Angels and Airwaves. I think this song could have like really been a fucking bop for Angels and Airwaves. Throw some Tom DeLonge vocals in there. So, but it actually does rate 8 out of 10 by Smash Hits, which is a British music magazine that was published in the 1978 and it ran all the way through 2006. So that's what I'm giving this song, and that's what I'm giving all of you today. And Kelsey, back to you, my dear, dear friend, who is not a little bitch.
Thank you so much. Okay, so this episode was written by William Harper, directed by David Greenspan. Have a lot of thoughts on the directing.
All right.
Aired October 24th, 2013, to 8.73 million views. The Netflix synopsis is... Research is at the forefront when Derek joins Callie on a brain mapping project and Meredith decides to continue her mother's work to get a grant. Mm. Little spoily on which one Meredith picked, but other than that, good.
Yeah. I got to tell you, I really enjoyed this episode. I'm not going to spoil my ranking for it. It's going to be pretty high. This episode, I think, had a really good opening and closing monologue from Derek.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I think that this episode may have a front runner for scene of the season, in my book, like from a comedic writing standpoint. Mm-hmm. And overall, I think really sets up some cool character developments. And like, I'm really excited to talk about this one.
I'll say this, I'll say it, and I'll say it loud. Great Derek episode.
Great Derek episode. Honestly, as
gotta
here's
call
the thing,
them out when
I
they
want
show
you
up.
To know, I want you to know that the farther and farther we get into this show, the better Derek gets. And I'm just sitting here thinking, you know what, Kelsey? I think maybe you give Derek too much hate.
I'm set in my ways.
And that's fair.
I'm not looking for but you know feedback what? At this time.
And that's okay. I should have asked permission to give it first. Honestly, this is on me. I take full ownership. But yeah, like, man, I think Derek is, I mean, he's had some rough patches in the show, but Derek might be like one of my favorite characters on the show.
He's doing really well right now. I'll say that for sure. I will give credit when credit is due, you know?
Absolutely. I know you do.
So I appreciate his, acknowledgement to like Meredith's career and her needs. I appreciate the way he speaks to everyone. I don't feel like I had any issues with the way he spoke to anyone in this episode, which is rare. Because very often I'm like, why are you talking like such an asshole? So always lovely to not have to deal with that question.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm trying to think if there was anything else specifically. I mean, I thought he was very, him and Callie had a good back and forth. I think both of them made very valid points. Okay. So as a reminder, if you did not watch this episode recently, this is Callie and Derek are working on a brain mapping research project. And, they have a patient named Mickey, and they have put Derek's like sensors, they've implanted the sensors into Mickey's brain. Mickey is a quadriplegic, so they've put the sensors in his brain and they're kind of mapping out what the brain can do in relation to movement and everything, because at this point Mickey does not have any prosthetics or anything, but they've got the brain mapping thing hooked up to some kind of program on a computer or television. So Mickey thinks about like waving his hand and the hand on the TV moves. So it's a very impressive research project that they're working on together. And Callie's kind of trying to back out of it. Derek calls her out on that. She calls him out on some bullshit. They have a fair back and forth. And they both in the end kind of come to the decision that they will both continue to work on it together. And the end of the episode is Derek going to Meredith and being like, this, you know, isn't working for our family. What I would like to do is this research project. And she's like, you want to take on more? He says, no, I want to only do research. I want to take a step back from surgery, let you have you this year to focus on your research and your surgery. And I will take like the main responsibility of like being in charge of this kid's schedule and making sure they have consistency and like a routine in place. And I liked when she was like, you're going to be spending, you'll resent me. And he's like, this isn't a consolation prize. This is the prize. Like, this isn't runner up. This is winner. So I liked
really,
that.
Really loved that. Yeah, that was such. And also, I did in the middle of this conversation go up and get some
Carmen's
some Kleenex.
Getting the sniffles.
Yeah. So my bad, everyone. When he said it's not a consolation prize, it's the prize. Like, I got to tell you, I got like an emotional. I got a little emotional during that that piece. It's nice to see that. And I don't know if you had said this while I was going and getting the snot rags. But there's an interesting arc that happens. Like we see full character arcs from Alex, Arizona, Derek, Meredith, and Callie all in this episode.
Let me say, great episode for Derek. Not a great episode for a lot of other people.
Yeah. Back to the thing with this Mickey guy. So there's also this really intense reveal that I got to tell you also made me, I was conflicted on my view of Mickey in general on this one, because the reveal is that he is, he's a paraplegic because of he got into a car accident
and driving, and
he caused it and killed two teenage girls.
Yeah.
So that's an interesting reveal, and it gives Callie it speaks to her weirdly mm-hmm. enough. So, you know, take that for what it's worth.
I mean, I do think it's interesting, and I think it's valid of him to share where he's like, I think, you know, I spent 9 years wishing that I had been the one that died because I, you know, I ended these lives, and he's like, and, you know, I have to do something essentially to like pay back to the universe the wrong that I've done. And I don't really think you can ever, you know, make something like that quote unquote right, but I see where he's coming from of being like, at least I can put some good into the universe and like help save lives. I definitely understand his thought process in that thinking, and I do appreciate that he caused that accident and then had the realization. You know, he had understood the gravity of what he had done. Because there are people that do things like that and they just, nothing changes. They just continue to live their lives.
No remorse, no guilt, yeah.
Yeah. So I did think it's interesting and it kind of adds to his character for sure. Especially with like how just like happy, jolly, excited he was about everything. And positive and his willingness to go to extremes for the project, because he was like, this project has to be a success, essentially. And basically what happens is they aren't getting a good reading on some of the sensors, and it turns out that he has a tumor in his temporal lobe that Derek does not want to take out because it's too risky. And Mickey's like, well, then I'm not giving you your sensors back unless you take the tumor out. So Derek kind of, at this point, Callie is not really wanting to work anymore on the trial. And Derek's like, please talk to Mickey. Like, you've been with him on this and he'll listen to you. And so she does, but she kind of hears him out. And then she goes to Derek and kind of pleads Mickey's case and explains, you know, what he wants to do. And that's... he even says, he's like, okay, so even if I die, I can donate my brain to science and still be, you know, potentially saving lives. And he understood the risks. I don't think he, you know, was fooled by anybody to, you know, thinking it wasn't going to be a big deal.
They swindled me out of me brain.
Yeah. So Derek, you know, does the surgery, and unfortunately it is not successful and Mickey does not make it. But then I like that they show Derek and Callie are the ones doing the work to kind of like preserve his brain and the various other things that would happen, I assume, when someone donates their body to science. So,
yeah, I don't know much about that process, but I did read an article recently about where a mom actually found her son donated to science, and he was at like a museum. Like, I think that like he was missing or something and they couldn't ID him. I don't know. And she actually found him. She's like, this is my son. And they did like a DNA test and it was confirmed to be him, but she never consented. So I think his body was removed from the exhibit. Yeah. Don't quote me on that. I could have made all that up, but I'm fairly certain I read this article. I didn't fact check the article, but I'm fairly certain I read it. So the thing with this storyline that's interesting is we also see in the beginning, so Shane is on Derek's case, and he's, you know, they kind of have this moment where Shane's like, look, dude, like, I don't want to be in your case. And Derek's like, well, you know, I feel like I owe you, especially with how things turned out with Heather. And then Shane gets all fucking weird. Like, I'm sick and tired of this. Like, bro, just tell the world that you're a murderer. It's okay. We accept you for who you are. In jail. So but when he's like, oh, so I'm like your sloppy seconds, I'm your plan B because you really wanted Heather. Like, bro, come on.
Yeah.
They don't know.
It's just not that serious. Also, like,
it's not.
Let it just, like, it happened. Okay.
Yeah. And just say now that she's gone, you want me? Like, who cares? Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
so any. I really don't feel bad at all about Shane in general. Like, anything he's going through, I have a hard time with. I did think it's interesting, you know, with the end where he... So Shane gets onto a case with Christina because he thinks about the glue and the cup broke, and the cup is a metaphor for, like, life somehow in this episode. It's like the toilet on the roof for all of you Scrubs fans.
The cup is a metaphor for life.
Yeah.
So real.
We're putting that on a sticker. You can catch that in our merch shop by the end of 2027, y'all.
Maybe.
Maybe. If not 2027, for sure by 2030.
Yeah.
But someone needs to remind us 20 times before that.
Podcasts in America still exist.
Yeah, who knows? It might be all state-owned propaganda TV by the... Never mind. I love expansionism, and I love the fact that our supreme leader, Donald J,
he's being
which
sarcastic.
Stands for Jesus.
Oh God!
Because they're basically the same person. Donald Jesus Trump is go and rescue Greenland from
the
oppressive. I think it's just John, like a fucking Don John. Anyways, all of that was sarcasm, but I'm sure that soundbite will be used in MAGA circles to really get an influx of. See, even Grey's Anatomy loves us.
Yeah, that's for sure.
We don't. We
it
don't.
Is Don.
We
it don't. Is John. Good job.
Thanks.
I gave it a Google.
I'm so sorry that you just were forced to give that man's name a Google search.
That's fine.
Anyways, so at the end, Shane, the moral of the story is Shane yells at Derek. He's like, I don't fucking want you no more, bro. And Derek's like, okay, message received, buddy. Like, what are you going to do? Kill me?
Sorry,
like, I don't know.
Waste your time trying to teach you medicine.
Yeah. Yeah. So, but yeah, it's, you bring up a good point. I do like that, that Derek and Callie are the ones who's out there harvesting Mickey's brain for research and science. But yeah, it's, there was that scene where Callie was like, hey, we got to do the surgery. We're going to do it. And Derek said, how about first thing tomorrow morning? Ah, nope. Shit. I can't do tomorrow morning. I know I have my child in my hand, but I'll just do the surgery now. That's crazy.
The daycare at this hospital must just be the best perk that they have. That's how they get all these people to come work for them. Can you imagine having your children, like, you've picked them up and you're like, just take them back for like what will likely be 4 to 5, maybe 8 hours. Like,
overnight. Like, what is even happening?
That's what I'm saying. Are you open 24 hours? Do you not have a rate? Like, in Tennessee, and I think the entire country, there are ratio laws on like how many adults per kid are allowed to, like, you can't have more than, I don't know the number, but let's say like 10 kids to one adult. So if you're going to have more than that, you have to have the staff to back it up. So like it's wild. Like, I don't understand how this daycare works. And I know it's not that
and
deep, and I'm probably not supposed to ask the question, but I'm gonna.
No, I think it's a fair question to ask. Honestly, Shonda, you are now officially on trial, and we demand answers. So get to us whenever you can. Your people can contact our people at graysacademypod@gmail.com. That's totally fine. We accept emails. Kelsey will answer. No spoilies.
Also, just come on the show.
Yeah, that too. Let's do a quick praise capitalism break, and we'll be right back with more updates on this episode. And we are back. Thank you, capitalism, for paying our bills.
Yes. So there was a point, the initial argument.
Thing. Oh,
yeah.
It's crazy that Derek just heard a slight heart rate change in the rhythm.
Yeah.
And was like,
and then
oh,
like,
yeah,
there's
he's
no
brain,
brain
dead.
Activity.
Fuck.
I was like, what is happening in this? I was like, yeah. I don't understand. The conversation between Derek and Callie, essentially the very first one, when Callie's kind of like, oh, I don't want to do this anymore. Derek's like, well, you don't want to do it because you came up with it for Arizona. And now you and Arizona are like on the outs. So now you just don't want to do this project anymore. And that's bullshit. Cause like, it's it's for other people. And then she's like, well, you want to step away from this project to be with your family. And he's like, well, that's different. And she goes, why? Because your family's perfect and mine's falling apart. I'm like, okay, this is a lot, everything that's happening right now.
Can we also just call out the fact that Derek has already gone through a marriage that fell apart? Like, lest us not forget, Addison.
Maybe he's learned a lesson.
Yeah.
Although it certainly wasn't for doing too much research. So much as doing too much affairs.
Yeah. Yeah. So, like, honestly, and Derek, when I think he says something to the effect of, I know what you're going through. Woman,
yeah.
He does. Like, his significant other was cheated, and he caught them the way that you did. Like, he knows. I'm so worked up. My voice is so high. I tried to go higher. It actually wouldn't go higher.
So yeah, I like that. And I mean, I do think she does kind of call him out and she's like, oh, it's okay for you to back out, but it's not okay for me to back out. And there's some validity to that, but, I think it's fair. And I do think it's also fair for him to expect her to at least follow through with Mickey because he's like their initial patient and she's been with him and he, like, the patient is actively asking, like, where's Dr. Torres? Why isn't she here? All this stuff. So I do think she has, you know, she could owe him a conversation of, you know, why she wants to bail.
Yeah. I agree. So rest in peace, Mickey. Your brain will be used by science. Mm-hmm. But also, PSA for everyone, let's just not drink and drive. Let's just not be under any influence and drive. Let's not even, don't even be sleepy while driving. Yeah.
No more driving. Everyone just teleport.
Man, good thing Elon Musk is really helping solve that problem for us.
I just like have been watching so many British shows lately and they just like have trains everywhere. And I really like nice trains.
And come to Chicago.
I said nice.
Come to Chicago.
I'll be honest though. I've been there. They weren't that nice. They weren't as nice as the ones on the British television shows. And maybe that's a lie. But we had a good time on our train from Paris to London. That was a nice train.
It's true. In the tube.
The channel.
What did I say?
You said the tube, which is in fact the subway. Which we did also ride a lot when we were in London.
Oh yeah, the channel. You're right. Somewhere, man, there's so many things that are in my brain that I can't remember what they're from. It doesn't matter. I do want to also take a quick moment before we move on to our next topic to shout out our dear friend, dear listener, dear fan, Leah. I think last episode or the episode before, I made a comment erroneously. It was not malicious. It was just a misremembering of facts, which, as we've learned from time to time, is possible. Okay,
Tommy wants to do.
What did you, what? No, I'm not one. What did you
As
say?
You are one to do.
Oh, no. So I had said something to the effect of, hey, Leah, tell your husband he makes great grilled cheese. But I was complimenting Mark, but Leah was the one who made the grilled cheese that stood out in my brain. So I want the whole world to know that Leah, redacted last name, makes incredible grilled cheese. And I'm very happy for our friendship. And the next time we see you, which honestly, I hope is this year, I would love to get out to Pittsburgh or have you out here. I would love some grilled cheese. So anyways, go back and basically erase Mark's name from the annals of history.
Oh my God, stop saying annals.
And insert into the annals of history
I feel so Leah
and her mac and cheese, her grilled cheese skills. So anyways, enough of the annals.
Oh my God, with that.
It's pronounced annals, right? It's the annals of history. Okay.
Correct.
I'm just trying to nip that in the butt, okay?
Okay. We're doing too many things.
I'm trying to snip it in the butt.
Snip, snip, right in the butt. Butt snipping. Okay, so did you have anything else
ankle,
on
dude?
The Mickey?
Nah, let's talk about fucking ankle couple. Because it's kind of tied in with Shane and shit.
Okay, so in the ER, Steph is there with April, and April's like, yo, this guy fell down, get him an x-ray. So they get him an x-ray, and also on the x-ray, they're like, whoa, what a big tumor on his heart. And she's like distraught. She's like, oh my God, his life is over. He was just on a vacation. This is awful. She goes to get a consult from Christina. Christina's like, I'll take a look and then I'll help you tell them. So they go tell the couple, and the couple's like, oh yeah, that's the thing that we have, that we know. That's the thing. Yeah, it's just because, you know, I'm going to die. So that's why
we really didn't want to miss our flight. So like, you know, they didn't want to bring it up in our history.
Yeah. So they know about it, and there's nothing that can be done. They've had multiple doctors try and fail. Christina's like, have you tried this? Have you tried this? And the wife is like, you just have to accept it. It's okay. It'll be okay, which is funny because it's normally the other way around.
This couple is actually wild though, because they are like, yeah, we've maxed out our credit cards. We took out more credit cards. We sold everything we own. We bought a boat to blow it up. What? Honestly, what is happening? Like, yeah, good for them. Also, for all of you USA Network fans out there, this guy is a bad guy in one of the greatest shows of all time titled One Burn Notice. He is a bad, bad man, really mean to the main character, kind of a bully, and honestly, a little bit of a bitch.
Little bitch. Yes. So they were funny to me. Just when she says, or when they tell them that they have the tumor, and she's like, oh yeah, that's the thing. You know, it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah.
Then they talk about, like, when Christina approaches him, she's like, hey, I have the surgery I want to try. And they're like, well, but yeah, we've taken out all of these credit things. We've emptied our accounts. We've sold everything we own. And Shane is like, well, how are you going to pay for it? And they go, life insurance. Like, he's really good at planning. He has really good life insurance because he knew he was going to die. I have to imagine it's like $1 million life insurance policy.
No, minimum.
But they had to have gotten it before they found out about the tumor, because insurance is garbage. And once he found out about it, he would never have been able to get life insurance
policy. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Well, he could have. It would have just been like $100,000 a month or some crazy shit. Yeah, it's a very funny story of a very sad and unfortunate situation. And so, again, that red cup is a metaphor for life in this episode. And Steph, when she sees the heart, which, by the way, hearts famously red, the cup
famously red, life giving,
famously life
sustaining.
Life-giving. When they say your cup runneth over, right? That's what we're talking about.
Your heart beats too fast.
Yes. When they say your cup is half full, they're talking about life.
Your heart is not full.
A box of chocolates. So Steph drops the cup on the site of this tumor that shocked her so much. Shane's like, bro, what the fuck? This is not even your mug to break. And he glues it together. That's what gives the idea for the glue. He says, Eureka, I've solved it. I'm going to take this to Christina, because she's a real doctor, not like that fake Dr. Meredith from last week. So goes to Christina. She says, let's do fucking brain glue in this guy's heart. And Christina actually gives such a cold response. I think Shane's like, have they ever done that before? And she goes, not that I know of. So no.
So no.
What?
I love her. I love her so much.
We're made to assume that she has read every heart article in the existence of hearts.
Yes.
Really cool. So yeah, that's kind of that lead up to it. And I thought those were all really, really cool things. And now I'd like to blow my nose and stop talking for a moment.
So they go in and they do the surgery. It is successful, which is lovely. So Ben lives. So Ben and Joyce can now live out their days in the raging amounts of debt that they have accrued, and probably also now will have to deal with lots of medical debt and as well. But maybe he has really good health insurance. Who knows?
Maybe.
And so, medium happy ending. Christina says, I saved a man's life and ruined it.
Yeah. Their response when she says, you're going to live, or you've got a really good chance to live, he just goes, dear God. Like, yeah, because not she's happy. Like,
he goes, will this work? Or, and she said, well, no one's, it's never been done before. And he goes, so I could die, but like in a hopeful way.
Right, right.
So there's a chance.
So there's a chance, perchance. And when they're leaving it and they're like, the wife says, we could go to jail. Yeah. You did a lot of crazy shit with the money that you don't have.
They were like, well, we went up in that plane where you have no gravity and that's $5,000 a pop. And we went up 10 times or some shit. I don't know what they said.
Yeah. Something crazy. And then April, they're sitting there crying, which like, can't tell if they're excited tears or sad tears, but they're crying.
Just like,
and April walks up.
Lots of emotions, probably.
Totally. And April is mad, which is like totally makes sense because in this entire time, she was April's patient and then Christine stole it, came up with a plan and did a never before done surgery all before April could come back to this patient. How busy is she? Who knows? And she's like, you stole my patient and why are they crying? And Christina's like, well, I saved his life. So I don't know.
It's like it's the April stealing storyline to me didn't make sense because like Stephanie called for a consult on the tumor.
So yeah, that's a good
that's
point.
That's why I was like I understood Stephanie being mad at Shane, but not really April because I'm like, he needed a consult. Like, I don't understand.
Yeah. I would like to take April a moment.
Was honestly only there for like flashes though, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. April is kind of boring in this episode. I'd like to monologue for a second, because I would like to walk the internet through a recounting of a good scene, and I think in the running for scene of the year for this season 10 so far of what we see. So Stephanie goes up to Shane, is like, "Bro, you stole my heart. What the fuck?" And Shane's like, yeah, yeah, whatever. It's fine. I don't care. And she said, why are you being such an asshole? And also, that kiss was dumb. And Shane's like, what the fuck do you mean kiss? Clearly it meant way more to you than I care at all. And she said, you're a douche. You've changed, Shane. You've got like a deep, dark secret, I bet, down there. Who knows? And then Leah walks out of nowhere and goes, fine, twist my arm, everyone. I'm kissing Arizona Robbins. Can you all shut up about it? The way I open mouth laughed from my gut on the train when she walks up into that scene. I mean, people were gawking. They were judging. They were not happy with me because I was also on a silent train. But that is early candidacy for scene of the season. And yeah, I love it.
Did not care for Leah in this one.
No, no. And I like, honestly, like, kind
of they were just making
annoying.
Her tolerable. And they said, we don't want her to be too tolerable. Let's make her terrible.
They really said, we need to set Leah back 100 degrees. Like, we just gotta rip the rug from underneath her. But the way that she walked into that scene and said, all right, guys, fine, but yeah, I promise you can't tell anyone, but like, stop asking me.
But like, whole episode, oh, please don't ask, I can't say. It would be so bad for the hospital. It would be so bad for this person. Don't ask, don't ask, don't ask. You wouldn't believe it, but oh my God, don't ask. Like, oh, so annoying. So annoying.
Yeah.
Like,
it's just, it's
up,
so
please,
funny
for the
just and annoying.
Stop. Like, I hate it so much.
And we get and kind I, like, of a sad resolution
like,
to that.
Yeah. Well, I'm like, I think I feel bad for her. And I do appreciate the conversation Arizona has when she's like, hey, you need to adjust your expectations. Like, I don't think this is a good idea. We need to not do it anymore. And Leah's like, I'm so sorry. Like, I don't open up to people. So then when I do, I like get too attached. And I'm like, okay, I do feel bad for you. But also, like, if you're aware that you do this, maybe you could do some therapying and work
Bingo!
On not doing it so much. A little self-reflection, a little self-love. We're looking for, Leah seems the type, she's looking for a lot of validation from the outside.
Yeah.
And what I need her to know is that she is enough.
She is enough. And honestly, I don't hate Leah. I really don't. Right now, out of the interns, she's not even last place. She's definitely top four. But
she's definitely not a murderer.
She's above the unconvicted felon. But she's ranked third place right now. And yeah, it's like, Leah, just reel it in. Have a little bit of emotional cognizance, okay?
Yeah, and some wherewithal. Like, the making out does not yield this level of attachment.
No.
Again, the outside validation is just...
Was it when Arizona and Alex were working on the teratoma, I think? Which, by the way, loved you in Moana. And when they are doing the surgery, Arizona's like, Alex, you like fucked people. what would you do if you like had someone getting attached? And he's like, oh man, it sounds like Leah Murphy. I had sex with her like once or twice and she was ready to have my babies. Like stage 9 clinger. And Emma is just watching this.
Yeah. For Arizona doing that while Emma is literally came specifically to observe is so fucking wild of her. Like the unprofessionalism is incredible.
Yeah.
Truly unmatched.
Yeah.
She's like, bear with me, Emma. Hey, Alex, let me talk about my personal problems. And also I'm like, Alex, the way he's like, I mean, I slept with her like one or two times. I'm like, bro, you might be the wrong one in this. This is not necessarily comparable. You did actually have sex with her. And probably like, if you'll recall at the beginning of that season, he was like, oh, I care about you so much. I wish I could stay. Oh, all this stuff. So I do think he was actively misleading her.
Yeah.
Which is different than what Arizona is doing.
The thing that I respect about Arizona in this situation is she actually had a conversation.
Oh, immediately. With like Leah. Once she realizes it, she's like, hey, this is a situation. We can't do this. I'm sorry. It was my, and she owns up to it. She's like, I think, you know, I shouldn't have done that. That was on me, but we can't do this anymore. And then Leah does immediately get very upset and run away and cry. And again, I feel bad for her, but I'm also like, girl, it's more self-worth. You have more self-worth than this.
And you gotta think too, she was kind of on the same level of like infatuation with Arizona as Alex, which says either two things. One, the makeout session with Arizona was really, really good. Or two, comparatively, one makeout session with Arizona is the same as two sexes with Alex. I don't know what it says.
I think it says, again, Leah might need therapy, and she's in love more with the concept of love, and she doesn't want to be alone.
That's a way more plausible thing in general.
Again, therapy would be great for some of our friends in the hospital.
It is sad watching her run away, though. And what's even more sad is Arizona says all that shit and then gives her the fucking booty call text.
Dude, that's where I was like, all right, Arizona, you lost me. I was with you.
Yeah, you fucked up.
And now you've done it. This is, in my opinion, like, of all the sexual harassment we've seen, just from like a standpoint of a superior in the workplace, like this is really top tier for me because she makes a correct decision and then goes, she's just so taking advantage of the situation because she can tell how much Leah is gonna like want and like quote unquote need this relationship in a way. And I think it's so fucked up.
Yeah, it's you know, we have situations where it's
you're right.
Sexual. Yeah. It's, you have the sexual harassment. Not good, right? Sexual harassment, bad. Mm-hmm. What Arizona, I think, is happening here is borderline manipulation.
Oh, for sure.
And that's.
Well, and it's just so selfish.
I have a problem with all of it. Yeah. It's so selfish.
Because she saw how immediately hurt Leah was And I'm like, how many times do you think you're going to be doing that to this poor girl then?
Yeah.
Because clearly, so, I don't, that's one of those things where I'm like, I don't think it's fair of you to expect Leah to change the way that she exists, because clearly this is who she is as a person.
Yeah.
And if you're going to take issue with that, if it's going to impact your job, which it seems like it's going to, because she's not going to shut up about it. Also, again, Arizona being the person in power is the one that needs to be taking the responsibility and not doing this shitty thing.
Yep.
So.
Yeah, it's overall a bummer. Yeah, it's a bummer in many ways. Yeah, so I don't think I have much left on that specific storyline, but talking about Emma being adjacent to the stuff going on, you know, we have that scene with Christina and Emma.
Well, really quick before that, Emma is there to specifically observe this surgery with Arizona and Alex. And they talk to her, and Arizona's like, oh, she's really nice. And Alex goes, yeah, and she's hot. And Arizona's like, what are you talking about? And he goes, it's a good thing I'm going to be there to supervise. And Arizona just makes a face at him, so, and he goes, funny. Oh, are we not joking about this yet? So funny. So funny, because Arizona does just laugh it off.
Yeah.
But I think that was so funny and was just like perfectly delivered on Alex's part. Like, oh my gosh, I was dying. Yeah. Are we not?
Yeah, that was very
yet?
Funny.
Incredible.
Clearly not, so, Alex.
Yes, Emma is there. Owen has brought her to work. He tells her that he has told people that they are together. She seems like maybe she hasn't told people they are together. What he has not done is tell her that he was married to Christina. It would appear.
The opening scene where, Owen, I think, and Christina are interacting, mm-hmm. and he says, oh, it's so weird that she's okay with, you know, the ex, and Owen says nothing. I'm like,
yep,
that he didn't tell her. I saw that coming a mile away.
Which
I didn't
one
see
thing
this
to
episode.
Not tell someone, oh, I work with my ex. It's a whole other thing to not even tell them you were married to someone that you work with.
Yeah. Yeah. And bro, she made you banana bread, bro.
I bought bananas to let them rot on my counter specifically to make banana bread. And the time has come and I am so excited.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Can you send me some?
Yeah. Okay, and then,
thank you.
So yeah, Owen is still ass at communicating, is the moral of the story.
And guys, we're 10 seasons in. I don't know that it will change.
Yeah. That feels accurate. It feels like it's kind of a permanent problem at this point, and it feels like he doesn't want to change. He wants to continue to create problems that he can then turn around and blame on the women he is creating the problems for. That's how it feels to me.
It also sounds like he needs just a little bit of therapy, maybe.
He needs way more, because he did do a little bit, and it clearly was not enough.
Yeah.
Okay,
I think I saw a meme recently.
Yes, go ahead.
Maybe, was it something you sent me, or maybe it was in our Patreon, where it was like, no one, semicolon, Owen Hunt, ceiling fan, something like that, and it was just very funny.
There's a lot of good Owen Hunt hate. There's not enough Derek hate. There's a good amount of Owen hate. And I like that he does get it. I think that we all recognize that. Okay. Did you
it's
have
anything
else
to add before
we take a tiny
break? For me to explore.
Yeah. I guess.
I guess we can jump back into this episode and finish up kind of that, like, Emma, Owen, and like the Emma and Christina conversation, because that was kind of a wild reveal. Yeah, let's do that.
All right. Well, we'll do that after everyone's favorite segment.